Decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I'm Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory!
And guess what, guys? It's 2025!
Yay!
Can you imagine?
Another year.
Another year of crime.
Yeah.
A whole lot of crime. Crime doesn't stop for nobody.
Uh-huh.
And today we've got a bit of a different show. We're not really doing a case or something, but we are doing the 25 richest criminals of all time. Don't ask me why I was thinking this while I was doing groceries, but I was like, I wonder who the richest... This is what I think about, ladies and gentlemen, in my spare time. It's not weird, you're weird.
Sure.
It's fine. Anyway, so let's jump right into it. We've got 25. So the first is Ricky Donald Freeway Rick Ross. And he's estimated to have a net worth of $1 million. And he was a prominent American author and former drug lord who successfully established a highly lucrative drug enterprise in Los Angeles during the mid-1980s. His drug operation generated an estimated gross revenue of $900 million, which is worth $1,070 million as of 2022. That's a lot of money.
It is.
It's a lot of money. Next, we have one of my personal favorites. At number 24, we have Lucky Luciano. So Charles Lucky Luciano was a gangster of Italian descent in the 1920s, and he was the first American leader of the Genovese criminal family. He was born in 1897, and he joined the Five Points Gang, where he learned the trade of prostitution. He then rose to prominence in the criminal organization and established the National Crime Syndicate. So he's actually one of the founding, not founding fathers, but he did really, I want to use the word incredible, but I don't know how I can use the word incredible when I'm talking about crime, but he really changed the game when it came to organized crime, specifically in New York. So I can understand his estimated net worth was $5 million. Now $5 million also, though, in the 1920s is a lot of money.
Definitely.
We then have number 23 is Bernard Madoff. No idea who this was. So Bernie Madoff was an American fraudster and financier, and he masterminded the $64.8 billion Ponzi scheme, which is the largest known scheme in history. And the total amount owed to clients, so that he owes back, is $57 billion.
What?
Yeah.
This guy's crazy.
I know. Actually, do you know the answer? What exactly is a Ponzi scheme? Is it kind of like fraud?
To be honest, I was about to ask you.
This is where Google comes in. I really don't... I've heard of a Ponzi scheme before.
Yeah.
But I've never... Okay, here we
Look,
go.
Yeah.
It says, a Ponzi scheme is a type of fraud where investors are lured in and paid with money from new investors rather than legitimate business. I don't understand a word that says, but that's because I'm not financially involved.
Savvy.
That's one. So he was estimated to be worth $17 million. So we are going up and up and up and up. Next, we have Nicky Barnes at number 22, and his net worth is $50 million. I don't know what you do with $50 million. It's a bit crazy.
In which era was this?
1933.
$50 million.
Yeah.
So right now, it'd be around...
I don't even know. And he was the leader of the council, which was a 7-member African-American organized criminal syndicate, which is also impressive considering the segregation the 1920s and
30s.
So the fact my guy ended up being $50 million is actually very impressive.
Yeah, because, I mean, unless, you know, especially during that time, because of segregation, if you had a lot of money, there's also a good chance you're working with cops.
That's also true. But he was a major player in the heroin traffic.
Ooh, okay.
trafficking into America. So I suppose heroin does bring in just a tiny bit of cash. We now have at number 21, Viktor Bout, who is also worth about $50 million. He was a Russian arms dealer and a former Soviet military translator. And he was found guilty of conspiracy of murder. And he basically worked with arms trade between the United States and Russia. And his it was called KAS Engineering Consortium. Trium LTD. So I can also understand this, especially we know war brings in money.
Yeah.
It's actually how America got to where it got in like the 1950s, because both wars, World War One and World War Two, yes, America helped, but guess what? They were selling weapons. So they were making money. And at no detriment, because war wasn't being fought on their land, so their buildings weren't getting destroyed, their civilians weren't getting hurt, except for Pearl Harbor. So they made money. So I can understand why a arms dealer would be number 21 on our list.
Yeah.
We now have number 20, which was Frank Lucas. He's worth $52 million, and he was in the late 60s, early 70s, and he was a drug kingpin. A lot of these are drug kingpins, which we are not surprised.
Not at all.
No, and he was using a direct connection to Southeast Asia. And he broke the mafia's monopoly in New York and smuggled drugs into the United States. And the majority of his wealth is in the Cayman Islands. And he earned 300,000 rand per kilogram.
What?
What? Per kilo.
How many kilos do you think this guy sold a day?
Well, I don't know. But
if you think about it,
I want to also be running through
a kilo would be about this much. And obviously to buy 300?
Okay, first of all, I don't know how, when you buy little baggies on the streets, I don't know how many grams are in little baggies, but it's not a kilo. So I suppose the kilo can go very far.
And I mean, not just anyone would be buying a kilo, right? Because I'm sure that would cost quite a bit.
Never mind that, the cops would be on you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's mental. Next, we have George Jung, who was worth $100 million. Okay, he was also known as Boston George and Al Americano, and he was an American drug courier and trafficker who played a major role in the cocaine trade in the 1970s and 80s. So again, cocaine, drugs equals money. Number 18 is Jose Figueroa Augusto. Don't judge my Spanish. Also worth $100 million. He was known as Junior Capsula and the Pablo Escobar of the Caribbean. He was a notorious Puerto Rican drug dealer who controlled 90% of the cocaine on the island.
Damn.
That's crazy. And he at the time was the most sought out fugitive in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. So my guy was making some waves, let's just say that. Next, we have number 17, another favorite of mine. Try to take a guess. I'll give you a clue. Chicago. Scarface. I am so disappointed. I've
what
known
you
for so many years, and this is betrayal. It's Al Capone.
Wow.
He was an American gangster and industrialist who rose to prominence as the co-founder of the head of the Chicago outfit during the Prohibition era, which also makes sense because alcohol is illegal. You make a lot of money selling alcohol because when something's illegal, people want it more, apparently.
Yeah.
He grew his bootlegging business through violent means, and he had a very beneficial relationship with the mayor, which obviously then police were not as big of a problem, but he was eventually arrested for tax evasion. I mean, imagine being one of the most ruthless gangsters and all they can charge you with is tax evasion. That, my guy. Yes. Also estimated to be worth $100 million. Next, we have, at number 16, Salvatore Toto Rina Nikki Barnes, and he's estimated to be worth $125 million. In the early 1990s, he was a notorious Italian gangster and the head of the Sicilian Mafia. And he was at the height of his ruthless assassination campaign. He succeeded Luciano Ligo as leader of the Corleone criminal organization and attained dominance through the use of force. So again, another gangster. No surprise there. Next is, and I was quite surprised that he was worth more than Luciano because he worked with Luciano, is Maya Langsi. So now he was an accountant, a Jewish accountant. Okay, it makes sense. You know, Jews are good with their money. It's very well known fact.
Yeah.
And he ran the finances of the New York crime syndicate. And he was, like I said, associated with Lucky Luciano. He possessed casinos, shares in casinos in Las Vegas. It was actually Bugsy Siegel, who also worked with Luciano, who set up the first hotel, which then became Vegas, because then people just started building hotels.
Yeah.
So he owned casinos in Vegas, Cuba, the Bahamas, and London. Okay, and he held a considerable sway over the Italian-American mafia. Utilizing his technical knowledge and mob connections, he established gambling enterprises in Florida, New Orleans, and Cuba. And he was credited with manipulating incriminating images and employing blackmail to acquire influence. So, my man knew what he was doing, and he was worth $300 million. Also, casinos, big way to make mega bucks.
Yep.
Mega fast. So no surprise there. I think Luciano would have been richer if he hadn't been arrested and deported to Italy.
Yeah.
So we then at number 14 have Kenneth Lay, who is estimated to be worth $400 million. He was the founder and chief executive officer of Enron and was entangled in the Enron accounting scandal, which resulted in the largest bankruptcy ever. Okay, he was one of the highest paid CEOs in the United States, receiving over $220 million in cash and stock from Enron between 1998 and 2001. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money. At number 13, we have Dennis Kozlowski. He is estimated to be worth $600 million. Oh, we are going very high at this moment. He was the former CEO of Tyco International, and he was convicted of unauthorized compensation, art purchases, and investment banking fees in 2005. In the late 1990s and 2000s, Kozlowski gained notoriety for his lavish lifestyle and flourishing stock market. However, he was accused of financing his $30 million condominium in New York's city, as in a condo,
yeah,
a house, and his multi-million dollar oceanfront estate in Nantucket. So also basically fraud type of stuff, tax evasion. Next we have Anthony Salerno, who is also worth $600 million. He was known as Fat Tony and he was an American gangster who served as underboss to the Genovese family in 1989 to 1986, and again he ran loan sharking, protection rackets, gambling, bookkeeping, you name it. Again, mega bucks. At 11, we have someone we've done on the show, Joaquim El Chapo Guzman, who is estimated to be worth $1 billion.
Bucks.
Big boy bucks. Put your big boy pants on. So he was a former Mexican drug kingpin and the Sinaloa cartel leader. He was born in 1959 and he ran a huge drug trafficking route through the United States. And between 2009 and 2013, he was one of the most powerful individuals in the world. That's crazy.
Yeah.
At number 10, we are reaching our top 10. We have Susumu Ishii. I don't speak Japanese, so please excuse that. He was the second Kaicho of the Inagawa Kai Yakuza. Okay. I'm so sorry. It's so difficult for me. I'm like really trying here.
Yeah.
He was born in 1924, and from 1978 to 1984, he was imprisoned for his gambling scheme. He was actually known as the gangster with a golden touch. Right, and the two greatest Japanese investment firms actually lent money to this Yakuza under Ishii's leadership, allowing them to manipulate the stock market.
Wow.
Now you can understand why he's worth $1 billion. Okay, and his investment in Tokyu Corporation yielded a profit of nearly $2 billion. So big boy bucks. We then have another person we have done on our show, and I think she's our only female.
Yeah, currently.
No, in the top 10. No, wait, I think there's another one, but we'll see. This is Griselda Blanco. So if you watched, there was a Netflix TV show about this recently, also estimated to be worth $2 billion. And she was active from the 1970s to the 2000s, and she was known as the cocaine godmother. And she was a prominent Colombian drug kingpin in Miami, Florida, and she founded a cocaine enterprise in Queens after being born in Colombia. So she moved from Colombia. She was the one, I don't know if you remember, they used to stuff the drugs in women's bras on the plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I've seen all sorts of things, like putting drugs in women's hair. Like sometimes you'll see
women
at the airports with like ridiculous hairstyles.
That's very funny.
Cops with such
At number 8, we have Alan Stanford, who is estimated to be $2.2 billion. Stanford and his accomplices operated a massive Ponzi scheme by misappropriating billions of dollars from investing and falsifying Stanford International Bank's records. And federal district judge David Godby sided with the SEC in its civil litigation against Stanford in 2013, ordering him to refund $6.7 billion and to pay a $5.9 billion fine. Damn. Imagine you get a $5.9 billion fine.
Yo, that's crazy.
That's mental. At number 7, we have Carlos Leder, who was, again, a Colombian drug kingpin. Colombia. You got some very rich criminals. Just saying. He was the first major drug trafficker to be extradited to the United States and was a founding member of the... Oh, my goodness. I have no idea how to say that. I'm not even going to try. But basically, a criminal organization in Colombia, which ran a cocaine transport empire on Norman's Cay. He established the National Latin Movement in order to compel Colombia to renounce its extradition treaty with the United States. So also, he is worth $2.7 billion.
Yeah, at this point, I'm certain that Colombia has like a crime and drug university.
Wow. At number 6, we have Leona. Okay, here's another woman. Helmsley. Leona Helmsley was convicted of federal income tax evasion and other offenses. She was initially sentenced to 16 years, but only had to serve 19 months in prison and 2 months in house detention. The billionaire was notorious for disputing payments. So basically, she just didn't pay her taxes. But she's worth $5 billion now. We then now have at number 5, Khun Sa, who is worth also $5 billion. And he was a notorious Chinese drug lord and warlord. He claimed to fight for Shan State's independence and establish its own territory. After being arrested in 1969, he became a dominant opium warlord in the Golden Triangle. War, drugs, yeah, no surprise there. At number 4, we have Dawood Ibrahim, who's worth $6.7 billion. He was a notorious Indian gangster and drug lord, and he's wanted for murder, extortion, targeted shooting, drug trafficking, and terrorism. And he's, I think, on the India's most wanted list. He has not been caught as of this moment. At number 3, we have Semyon Mogilevich, right? That's Russian for you, those who don't know. And he was Russian organized crime kingpin of Ukrainian descent and is believed to be in charge of a multi-billion dollar international crime empire. And he's worth $10 billion.
Yeah.
At number 2, we have Armando Carrillo Finetis. And he was a Mexican crime lord. Drug lord who seized control of the Yarzuz cartel after assassinating his boss. He is known as El Señor de Luis Morelos and known for laundering money via Colombia. He worked with Pablo Escobar, smuggling drugs from Colombia to Mexico and the US, and he's estimated to be worth $25 billion.
Wow.
And now for number one, do you have any guess who it would be? What is one criminal we have not mentioned yet?
Well, we've mentioned Al Capone, we've mentioned Pablo Escobar.
We haven't mentioned Pablo Escobar.
Pablo Escobar.
Pablo Escobar is number one, the richest criminal in history, worth $30 billion. He was a Colombian, again, drug kingpin, and he's estimated to be worth $30 billion, making him the wealthiest criminal in history. He began his career by peddling illegal cigarettes and counterfeit lottery tickets. In 1976, he established the Medellin cartel, which distributed cocaine powder, and established routes between Peru, Bolivia, and Ecuador to the United States. Medellin remained under the influence of Pablo Escobar until the mid-1990s, when the city's leaders were either murdered or captured by the Colombian government. So, who doesn't say crime? What's the saying? Crime doesn't pay is clearly not accurate. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. A lot of these people you see, they're either killed in action, in prison, but they all met very nasty ends, unfortunately. I mean, Pablo Escobar was shot on some random roof by cops.
On the roof.
So a lot of these people did not end up... I mean, Al Capone ended up with syphilis and gonorrhea, all nasty things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they might have had this money. But what good has it done for them now? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it was just interesting to see how much money they actually have made. And we clearly see the pattern of drugs. Oh my goodness. It's actually ridiculous.
Definitely.
I actually cannot believe it. Anyway, well, we will be here for the whole of this year, ready with more crimes and more exciting things. In fact, this has given me a couple of people I actually want to look into and do some shows on. But we wish you the most amazing 2025. We hope to see you here for many more shows. Otherwise, from now until next week, bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.